Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson broadcasting from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado, where we homeschool five of our children. And we've been doing that since Daniel was born. So it's been about, 18 years now. I've been speaking at homeschooling conferences since 1986. That's about 24 years ago when I addressed my first conferences back in California in the 1980s. And just last weekend, we were down with the Russians. The Russian-Ukrainian folks in the Denver metro area, many of whom are interested in home education. And Dave, we've had some interesting conversations with some of these Russian and Ukrainians. Dave Buhner, another homeschool dad in studio with me right now. And, two things that they brought to us that gives us a little bit more of an international perspective on things. And I think it's important from time to time to talk to people outside of your own cultural environment and find out what it's like in the rest of the world. And they said two things that really have surprised them as they come to America, have immigrated here. Number one, they're very concerned about the tyrannical imposition upon family rights on the part of social services. There's a way, way more involvement of the gender. Arms, the social services, the SS, in the average family's life here in America than you would find in Russia, for example. That's right, the USSR versus the USSA, the United Socialist States of America. But they said the other thing that shocks them is that American education is very, very bad. And, of course, international studies have given us that data over the last 15, 20 years. We know we're bad. We're getting worse. And compared to other nations, American education is awful, just awful. And I know a lot of these Russian-Ukrainian immigrants are living in the poorer neighborhoods and therefore probably getting access to some of the very, very worst schools in America. So they're interested in homeschooling, because homeschooling will separate your children from these schools. There is, after all, what we call the turkey principle. The turkey principle is very simple. It basically goes like this. It's hard to soar like eagles when the people you hang with are turkeys. And that's what happens when you live in a society, a certain society. You're probably going to be somewhat like that society. Even if you are the Three Sigma excellence, standard of excellence beyond the X bar, the average in that society, if the X bar is dragging the ground, Three Sigma is about 4 inches off the ground, okay? It's not very impressive. In fact, when we told them that homeschoolers average 85 to 90 percentile, on a nationally standardized test, 35 to 40 percentile points above the national average, they weren't all that impressed. Actually, one of the fathers said, well, big deal. Big deal. Because that X bar, that average in America, is dragging the ground, so who cares if homeschooling is doing 35 to 40 percentile points above the national average? Point well taken. Point well taken. But I think, Dave, if you can separate your children from the schools, you could be in an inner city. And this is one reason why a family's income has almost nothing to do with the academic performance of the children within the homeschool environment. Why? Because you're separating from the flock of turkeys. You're putting them into your home, and you're giving them a different form of education, and they're no longer part of that that corporal unit found in the public schools. So separation actually is a great concept. In fact, you can live in very, very poor neighborhoods and do very, very well. Thank you very much if you homeschool your children. That, according to a lot of the national studies that have been done over the last 20 years. Dave, we're heading out to North Dakota again to talk about home education this weekend. We're doing something just about every weekend. We've been traveling the nation, crisscrossing the state for the last 12, 14 years. And we really want to bring a message concerning education to parents everywhere. And parents, as it turns out, many of them really care. They really love their children. They want to find something better. They know that academically, American education is doing awful. They know that socially, there are serious, serious problems. And your teens, your young children being mentored by their peer group may not be the best idea. And some parents are catching this vision, and they are taking their children out of these schools.
I think most of the people, the Russians, the people we meet on the road at these homeschooling conferences, their real concern is that they're doing what they can to disciple their children to walk with God and build a kingdom. And then it's all being undone when they send them to Babylon. And they learn from their peers what was on MTV last night or what was on some HBO or some other channel. They associate themselves with those very people who would steal their faith. And in the process, they're also getting really bad academics. I mean, it's a really a double dose of poison. And those who still love their children are asking, is there a better way?
Well, American education is some of the worst in the world, friends, and I think it's due to the fact that America is a prosperous nation and a socialist nation. We have, here in America, the most expensive socialism, the most expensive schools. I mean, even the inner city schools are getting a great deal of money poured into them. Remember, we talked about the Kansas City schools, 29 of which are closing down. Half of the Kansas City schools are closing down right now after an infusion of billions of dollars into Olympic-sized swimming pools, huge computer labs. We poured the money into it. America has the most expensive socialism in the world, friends. And, of course, that expensive socialism tempts American parents to think that government will do a good job educating my children. That's the message that's sold to them. Well, folks, that prosperity is killing us. It is undermining our character, and certainly it is destroying the family. American family is the weakest in the Western world, per a Rutgers University study. American character in free fall, American morality falling, and, of course, American public schools, American socialism, giving a facade of prosperity, a facade that somehow they're going to take care of our children and raise up a future generation that will do great in terms of character and economics and produce a strong and healthy nation in the years to come. But that, of course, is false, because a nation's future depends on a nation's character, and a nation's character depends a great deal upon whether or not parents will raise those children with character, whether parents will love those children or abort 120 million of them. Well, we're trying to bring back a parent-directed education and training for children. That's big, as far as we're concerned, especially if you have a desire to leave something better for your children and your grandchildren. Better listen to the next session, folks. We're going to talk about how to give your children the best education possible. Be back in just a moment.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
A good education for your children? Maybe you ought to send them to Russia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, American schools doing the worst of most of all of the developed nations around the world for a lot of reasons. But I think largely because we've become a prosperous nation, our families are disintegrating, and we trust government. We trust the government schools will do the job for us. And character is not preeminent in the education of children anymore. Well, Dave, here's a study that was done recently and found that American high schools are even worse than the junior highs and the K-6 schools, that American kids do worse in comparison to other nationalities as they move through the high school years. The longer kids stay in American schools, the worse they do in the international studies, that according to this program that John Stossel did a few years ago called Stupid in America. Moreover, the National Center for Education Statistics has given us some interesting data following the literacy of college students since the early 1990s. They found that college students today are far worse off than they were 10, 12 years ago. They're 10% less likely to be literate by the time they get their four-year degree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, schools are letting us down. That's the bottom line here. Now, granted, everybody out there is saying, but you don't know my school. My school is doing better than all the others. Well, education is vitally important. I think everybody agrees on that. Why? Because it effectively sets the ideas and the direction for future generations. Ideas have consequences. And the reason you live in the world that you live in today, where 40% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, the reason you live in a world today where the faith is dying, where freedom hardly exists anymore, is because we've raised our kids this way. We've taught them this way. Ideas have consequences. You want to change the consequences? You're a little disappointed with what's happening in the postmodern world? You're going to have to change the ideas that are inculcated into the children, largely through the schools. Dave, this is the heart and the soul, I believe, of the worldview battle. The worldview battle isn't happening in church as much. Because, you know, churches are giving you the 10-12 minute sermon and telling you to conform to the culture around you. And so churches aren't really doing all that much. The media may provide a little bit of guidance for the ideas of the modern generation, but probably nothing more important than the schools. How we teach our children to think is important, vitally important. Therefore, handle with care and handle with prayer as long as you're at it.
Kevin, we have squandered a national inheritance of values. Whatever they're teaching in the public schools, the NEA and others have made sure that we are not passing our values onto our children. And those are the values that founded America. These are the values that say what you do in life matters. How you act before God counts. But whether or not you steal from your neighbor is an important decision. We're taking those values. We've squandered that inheritance. The very things that built America, we are tearing down in our schools. One of the things that we used to understand was a principle of individualism. Now, I mean this not in a dangerous way, but I mean it in the old adage, you get what you pay for. In the Kansas City schools, they pay a lot for the schools, but they mean you in the plural. You get what you pay for really is a individual statement. You get what you singular pay for in education. And if you send your kids to the free school, you get an education that's worth nothing. But if you pay with time, with love, with pouring out your heart to a child over 18 years, you get what you pay for. You've invested in that child. You individually have invested in that child, and you can expect an individual return.
And that's because children are our own children, and they are born for relationship with us. Children will receive whatever they get from their parents in terms of commitment, in terms of love, in terms of their own finances. If your parents are not paying for your food, for your shelter, for your education, then you're going to feel more beholden to the state than you will to parents. And Dave, I think that relationship between parent and child is critical in the raising, the training, the education, the paideia of a child. And this is a principle that we're trying to encourage people to take on. Moreover, the mantra we've received about education for the last 20, 40, 80 years is centralized and standardized. I mean, it doesn't matter whether Republican or Democrat on this one. Everybody wants to centralize and standardize. The Republicans talk about standardized tests and standardization all of the time and want to judge the quality of a teacher based upon the standards that they have concocted the standardized tests that they impose upon those teachers. This standardization, this centralization has occurred from the beginning of the school districts back in the 1870s and 1880s. Hey, America became a great nation, probably the most successful, prosperous nation on the face of the earth on the back of home schools and one-room schoolhouses. When Laura Ingalls Wilder was stepping out into her one-room schoolhouse and saying, hey, kids, where did you leave off last year? They didn't have standards back then. Instead, you had the 10-year-old who said, ma'am, I was halfway through the third reader. The 11-year-old said, ma'am, I think I just started the fourth reader. The 8-year-old said, ma'am, I think I was about halfway through the third reader. And she says, great, let's go. And that's the way it went for about 5,800 years until the experts showed up and began to standardize compulsory attendance ages, and then say that if you're in the third grade, you better be 8 years old or there's something wrong with you. And they put the numbers on the spines of books, and they put the numbers on the tops of doors. And if you were 8 years old and you couldn't go through the three door, the message came loud and clear. There's something wrong with you, kid. We're going to put you on the special needs track. And as it turned out, as they continued to process these kids through the meat processing plants called education, and they began to standardize these things, they wound up corrupting education to the core. And then you get kids who wind up like the couple I met a couple of years ago who came to our church, said they got married, they found out they couldn't read. They'd been through Littleton Public Schools in here in Colorado for 12 years, each of them. The state has spent $250,000 educating them on special needs tracks the whole way, and they never learned how to read. It was incredible. And so they said, we're going to homeschool our children. I said, why are you going to homeschool your children? They said, well, think about it. We went through school for 12 years. The government spent $250,000 on us, and we never learned how to read. Well, as it turns out, they learned how to read. A couple of people from church who cared about them, really cared about them, sat down beside them for about a year or so, and they learned how to read in the Bible study. So it worked out. But no thanks to the Littleton Public School Districts. Ladies and gentlemen, the bureaucratic, centralized, standardized system is a joke. It's a joke. Let's go into God's Word to find the principles of God's Word. You're going to find the principle of individuality. Everybody is an individual. The principle of liberty is contained in this as well. There's nothing in the Bible that requires a 7-year-old boy to be stuck to books or a certain set of books when he's 7 years old, 4 to 5, 6 hours in a day. That, my friends, is not God's system of education or God's system of liberty. No way, no way, no way. That parent doesn't need to provide a certain form of education to that child when he's 7, 8, 9 years old. Now, they can teach him how to read by reading out loud to him for 4, 5, 8, 10 years out of his life. That's fine. And then maybe he'll learn to read when he's 11 or 12. So be it. Everybody's an individual and needs to be treated as an individual. This is basic, basic. And it begins with a parent who gets to understand the individual talents, needs, and abilities of that child and then tailor makes that educational program to that child's needs. Dave, I think a lot of reason why we have such a messed up system and every other kid on Ritalin and running down some special needs track is because there hasn't been a mother, a father, to love that child, to understand that child, to walk with that child, and learn the individual needs and abilities of that child. It's interesting. Some of the studies that have been done on homeschooling find that the biggest disparity between homeschool academic performance and the average academic performance of the average kid in America is maximum 4 years into the homeschool program. That is the maximum improvement we see, the maximum distance that you see between the homeschool kid and the average kid in America happens not 1 year into the homeschool program, not 2 years into the homeschool program, not 3 years into the homeschool program, 4 years into that homeschool program. And I submit to you folks, it's because that teacher is getting to know that child. But of course, what we have is a system that doesn't respect any of that. You get a new teacher every year. In junior high and high school, you get a new teacher every class because relationships aren't important. The individuality of that kid is not important at all. He's supposed to be processed through this system where everybody gets the same textbooks at the same age, they get the same lectures, they get the same teaching approach, they get the same learning approach, at least they better have the same learning approach, and in the end, you get a mess on your hands, Dave. You get a destruction of the entire educational system in America. Dave, you know, I was in quality engineering for a long time. Now, if you wanted to get really quality product out the other end, and you're putting pens through the process, let's say, you put it through that black box, and it's kerchunk, 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 you get the same product out the other end, and it's an excellent product. The problem is that you need the raw material to be the same.
standard, the same quality, the same size, shape, and consistency. It's not. If you don't have a very, very similar product going into the black box, you are going to get junk out the other end. See, the problem is God did not provide the raw material for the education process as things, as children that have been created exactly the same. They're not that way. You can't process them through a centralized, standardized system the way that socialist systems want to do it, folks. You can't do it that way. And if you try to jam these kids through this standardized, centralized system, and one by one jam them through, you will get junk off the other end. It's time to start respecting God's principle of individuality. This is big, Dave. I think this is very, very important, and we don't respect these principles in the education system.
One of the critiques that we have against the public schools is, of course, they don't respect individualism or individuality. They treat the children more like it's a factory where they put on the spelling here and the next station down the line, they attach the reading and then they attach the mathematics. Well, children aren't that way. But part of the philosophy of this problem is that we all want the children to come out the same. That's underlying this manufacturing mentality. Well, maybe we don't know what the children are to turn into. Maybe God knows what their calling is. Maybe every child should come out different because not only do they start with different raw materials, but they have a different calling. I don't think the public schools can do anything but turn out socialist citizens. That's what they're to do is create the labor for the state to continue. They're not there to create saints for the kingdom. They're not there to build the Church of Jesus Christ, and they don't exist to see that every child can meet their maximum potential in taking dominion. That's not the product they're after. They're after every child fitting in the box that came out of the same box.
Well, tyrannical systems will always produce uniformity. Of course, folks, tyrannical, centralized, big government systems are designed to produce uniformity, not a decentralized system where you have people that do act and work differently and create fairly decentralized approaches to economics and everything else. Yes, folks, the education system has been set up for the socioeconomic system that people like Karl Marx and Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Plato suggested was appropriate for life on planet Earth. But I'm here to tell you that's not the way God created our socioeconomic systems. And certainly parents, above all, parents need to understand this. David, that's why we speak to parents. We know that teachers aren't going to listen to us. We know that the masses may not listen to us. But if we can speak to parents who have children, who understand what we're saying here. Any parent who has more than one child should understand what we're saying, because what's the first thing you say when your second child comes out of the womb? Wow, they're so different. You know, it's this huge revelation. You know, I can't believe it. A child's so incredibly different. And parents understand these things. And when we speak to parents, more often than not, they respond to this and they understand that the principle of individuality can be maximized in the homeschool environment, much, much more difficult to do in the private institutionalized schools. The principle of individuality is essential in the education of children. Also, the principle of life integration is very important. The Word of God says, don't be hearers of the Word only, be doers as well. He that is a hearer of the Word, not a doer, is like a man that looks himself in the mirror and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. And life integration means that we have got to get our knowledge applied to some form of life. And when education is moved off onto an island where life is not really reflected on the island, it is a sterile, removed area where education is and knowledge is never really applied to home life, to church life, to work life, to politics. It's not applied to any real form of life. And you get these students who sort of like learning how to ride a bike by taking bike 101, bike 102, bike 103, bike 201 for 18 years out of their life. They've taken bike statics, bike dynamics, bike accident recovery workshop, but they've never really gotten on the bike. They've never really applied what they should be applying to real life. And so if your daughter has a really good education, I mean, let's say that the system works the way that the system is supposed to work. All right, you got your daughter into that classical school, the very best possible charter school that teaches the classical approach. And you had her on that island for all those years. If she had a very good education, the best of educations, by the time your daughter is 26 years old, she knows the derivative of cosine. She knows how Freudian psychology differs from Skinner's. She knows who Rome fought in the Punic Wars. She knows that Plato asserts ideal forms of an absolute and eternal reality of which the phenomena of the world are only a transitory reflection. She knows how pinocytic vesicles function in an amoeba. She knows how to parse just about any Latin verb. But she won't have a clue how to manage a staff of seven in the home, how to handle a budget of $150,000 a year without running a household into the ground. She doesn't have a clue how to cook a meal, how to hire a contractor, how to raise children, how to change diapers, how to calm a baby, how to nurture a two-year-old, how to exercise authority, how to create a budget, how to cut food costs by 40% without increasing time for shopping, how to train a five-year-old in social skills. She doesn't know how to maintain vehicles. She doesn't know how to assess value in products and services. She doesn't know how to decorate a home. She doesn't know how to engage in hospitality with skill, with wisdom, with grace. But did I say that she knows how to parse just about any Latin verb? Yeah, she does. She's ready for life now. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to give your daughters and your sons an education that's life integrated. Put education back into the home. Put it back into the workplace. Put it back into the church. Put it back into politics. Bring back the concept of mentorship. And you're going to see an intensely powerful, relevant, life-integrated form of education for your children. Well, today we've just touched on two of the 10 time-tested secrets for the best education for your child. And I put these together based upon biblical principles relating to education, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding you'll find in the book of Proverbs and the book of James and other books of the Bible. That is God's Word. I summarize these things, and of course, as you read this, you're going to find that most of these principles have been almost entirely ignored in the modern definitions of education. They're just ignored. And they, of course, are the most powerful principles. Now, the public schools, the classical schools, the charter schools have found a few things. But for the most part, they're ignoring the most important principles. Because the teachers aren't taught this. The system doesn't promote it. But I encourage you as parents to get a little involved. Get interested in the education of your children. Spend a couple of hours on it. Let me tell you something. It'll be worth it. That's why I put together the book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. The book is available at our website. Just go to generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com and pick up a book today. And you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world, right there at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.